slightly older, with heavy beard shadow, wild curly brassy hair, and matching coils of body fleece. Impassive, he began working on the dorsal fin. Brady climbed out of the boat and stood on the dock. The water was flat, and the Madeleine barely bobbed. He helped Robin out, and I scooped up Spike. Once on solid ground, the dog began barking at the jeep. A man got out. Something dark and hairy sat on his shoulder. Spike became livid, straining his leash. The hairy thing bared its teeth and pawed the air. Small monkey. The man seemed unperturbed. After shaking Brady's hand, he came over and reached for Robin's, then mine.
Ben Romero, welcome to Arok.
30 to 35, 5'6", 140. He had a smooth bronze face and short, straight black hair, side-parted precisely. Aviator glasses sat atop a delicate nose. His eyes were burnt almonds. He wore pressed blue cotton pants and a spotless white shirt. The monkey was jabbering and pointing.
Calm down, Kiko. It's just a dog. Romero smiled. I think.
Romero took the monkey off his shoulder and held it to his cheek, stroking its face.
You like dogs, Kiko, right?
He looked back at our dog.
What's his name?
Spike.
His name is Spike, Kiko.
Here, let me get your stuff. Brady and his men brought our luggage to the jeep. Romero and I loaded. When we finished, the monkey was standing on the ground, petting Spike's head and chattering happily. Spike accepted the attention with a look of injured dignity.
Good boy,
said Robin, kneeling beside him. Laughter made us all turn. The shark butchers were looking our way. They winked and waved. The shorter one had his hands on his hip, the knife in his belt. Rosy pink hands. He wiped them on his cutoffs and winked. Spike's bat ears stiffened and Kiko hissed. Romero put the monkey back on his shoulder, frowning.
Better get going. You must be bushed.
We climbed into the jeep and Romero headed back to the beach road. A wooden sign said Front Street. I looked back. The men with the bloody hands were heading toward town, wheeling their bounty in a rusty barrow. All that was left of the shark was a stain.
Let me give you a proper welcome, said Romero. Ahuma na ahap. That's old pidgin for enjoy our home.
He started up the same winding central road he'd come down. As we climbed, I turned around and caught a frontal view of the business district. Most of the buildings were closed, including the gas station. Romero sped past the small white houses. Up close, the buildings looked shabbier, the stucco cracked, the tin roofs dented and pocked and mossy. Laundry hung on sagging lines. Naked and half-naked children played in the dirt. This was U.S. territory, but it could have been anywhere in the developing world.
So, how was your trip?
Said Romero.
Tiring, but good,
said Robin. Her fingers were laced in mine, and her brown eyes were wide.
Dr. Bill wanted to greet you personally, but he'd just got called out. Some kids diving out on North Beach, stung by jellyfish.
Is he the only doctor on the island? I asked.
We run a clinic at the church. I'm an RN. I'm on call for whenever I'm needed.
Have you lived here long?
Whole life, except for Coast Guard and nursing school in Hawaii. Met my wife there. She's a Chinese girl. We have 4 kids.
As we continued to climb, the shabby houses gave way to empty fields of red clay, and the harbor became tiny. But the volcanic peaks remained as distant as if avoiding us. To the right was a grove of ash-colored trees with deeply corrugated trunks and sinuous branches that seemed to claw at the sky. Aerial roots dripped like melting wax from several boughs, digging their way back into the earth.
Banyans, I said.
Yup, strangler trees.
They send those shoots up around anything unlucky enough to grow near them and squeeze the life out of it. They grow like crazy in the jungle.
Where's the jungle? He laughed.
Well, it's not really that. I mean, there are no wild animals, or anything else, for that matter, except the stranglers.
He pointed toward the mountaintops. Just east of the...